How would you like to turn food into self-care? Lisa Parda will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Lisa is that for more than 20 years, Lisa Parda has helped people buy, sell, and reimagine properties in New Hampshire. And as the owner of RealtyScape Brokerage LLC, she doesn't just work in residential real estate, she's also an income-producing value-add agent with experience fixing up and revitalizing commercial and multifamily properties. Now, that passion for creating spaces that serve people and communities threads through all her work. And today, she is the co-host of Lisa and Robin on the Mic, a live weekly radio show. And Lisa has spent the past 2 years hosting two-hour conversations that feel like pulling up a chair at the kitchen table. And food has become her latest way of exploring connection. And her forthcoming cookbook, My Love Language is Food, isn't about flawless recipes. It's about survival, joy, and the small rituals that keep people going. So, Lisa, tell us about how did you get interested in turning food into self-care?
Fuel Podcast with Lily Patrasku shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest, best life ever, shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.
Well, thank you for having me. I want to say thank you. I began using food as self-care when I learned to cook in my 20s. It became a way that I would sort of soothe myself, and it gave me the opportunity to be both independent from having to get my food at restaurants, and it allowed me to really hone in on my particular love and how I really liked food. So I felt like it made me self-sufficient. And then I had several health scares that I seemed to cure with food. So I realized that our health and our happiness cannot be outsourced. So we need to take control of those and manage those. And I really truly believe that once we nourish ourselves at the most basic level, you know, having a home environment that makes us feel safe and secure, being able to nourish our bodies so that they feel good and fuel us for our projects in and out of our houses. I really think that's the most basic form of self-care.
Thank you. Your work spans real estate, radio, and now writing a cookbook. What connects all these parts of your life?
Oh, that's a great question. I think each one is born out of how I live my life. So I'm the type of person who is very sensitive to my environments. So my home environment is, if it is serving me well, it is a clean, organized home. And when I'm really busy out and I'm, you know, have some messy piles everywhere, you know, I feel like my mental space is just as messy. And then the same thing when I eat out often, I'm always feeling a little worn down, like I really can't fuel and serve my life as well as I can, my mental health, my physical health. So it seems like when I have my home life in order, when I have my business life in order, when I'm well fueled and well fed, it seems like I feel like I can take on the world.
Thank you. When did food start becoming more than just nourishment for you and turn into something deeper? Because I'm a massive supporter and lover of Italian food. And as you told me earlier, you have an Italian background as well.
Yes, yes. So I grew up on a diet with my parents and all my girlfriends and all their parents. So, or at least our mothers. So I was on my first diet at 12. So I sort of grew up as food is the enemy. So, you know, we loved food, but we were always withholding and avoiding it because we were on this quest to be, you know, this ultimate thinness. And it's funny because when I talk about my Italian descent, everyone's like, oh, you have the typical Italian grandmother, but I did not. I did not have a grandmother who, you know, was cooking in the kitchen. She was out in the workforce. So I think my story started sort of inauspiciously, where food wasn't fuel, it wasn't about nutrition, it was a little bit of the enemy. And it wasn't until I met my husband, who I met him and he was my boyfriend, and he just couldn't live the way I was living with, you know, restriction, starving myself 23 hours a day and then eating only one meal because that was 1200 calories. And he's the one who sort of opened my eyes to how beautiful food can be and how it can be integrated healthily into a lifestyle.
Thank you.
I credit him with that.
Thank you. So how did food become self-care? Like, how did it manifest in your life? Like, what did you do differently?
It manifested when I was diagnosed with psoriasis. So after my father passed away, I got a bout of psoriasis and it was starting to spread all over my body. And the first thing I did was I realized that there was going to be no pill to fix this. I know we have various pills now for autoimmune issues, but they didn't 30 years ago when I was diagnosed. So I went to a nutritionist and I said, you know, is there any way you can help me? I'm, you know, in a lot of pain. This is really disruptive. It's visually something that visually people can see something's wrong. Everybody always talks about it when they see it. Is there any way for me to deal with this systemically? And the answer was yes. And it was changing your diet. And it's, you know, that's sort of how I came to the idea that, excuse me, what we eat affects every part of our life.
Thank you. Many people see cooking as a chore. How can it become a ritual that supports emotional well-being?
Some days cooking is a chore for me too. You know, when you're out and I'm showing real estate for say 7 hours and I'm getting home at 7:30 at night and it's one more thing that has to be done, like the laundry and everything else. But I think for me, what I do is I make a window of some space. I put on some music, you know, I pour myself my seltzer water. I change my energy in the kitchen. I change the mood that I'm in. And then once I do that, I use the stirring and chopping and prepping and all of that stuff to really bring me back down to a present point. And when I'm present, it's always feeling like self-care. I'm not in the moment ahead. I'm not worrying about my day. I'm just fixing and preparing myself something good to eat. And then I'm satisfying myself. I'm also giving myself pleasure, and I know I'm going to have pleasure at the end of this activity. So, and I always think anytime you can bring more joy, but I think music is a great energy changer.
Thank you. Can you share a moment when food helped you get through a difficult period in your life?
I think the two times that I used food to address health concerns, I had a cardiovascular problem a few years ago that I attacked from more of the Mediterranean diet. And when I had psoriasis, I went through an elimination diet to see what it was in my diet that wasn't serving me well. So I think the two health scares are really tangible examples of how food has really transformed for me.
Thank you. Tell us about your upcoming book, My Love Language is Food. So I am aware that people have different love languages and of how they like to be loved and how they like to love other people. And what inspired you to write this book?
I was always getting asked for my recipes. So the ones that I enjoyed my cooking, of course you want to share that. And then everyone else also enjoys my cooking and they're asking for recipes. And I've been a lover of books my whole entire life. I was an only child. I had the benefits of living in other worlds through all of these different stories that I read. And I always knew I would contribute at some point. So when I decided to make a publishing company, I looked into what was a profitable, like what book sales go up year after year, and it was cookbooks. And I thought, I have a ton of recipes. People are always asking me about my recipes. They're always, you know, I'm always emailing them off. Why don't I make it a cookbook as my first book? And so that is what prompted it, was a half a business decision and half, it seemed like a natural extension. Everybody was always asking me for my recipes anyways.
Thank you. You talk openly about body image and long work hours. How did those experiences change your relationship with food? Because I think perhaps a lot of people who want to enjoy food, they don't because they are so worried about the impact that the food is going to have on their body.
Well, I think it's something we are struggling with nowadays. We live our lives on social media, so we're constantly in front of a camera. You know, back in the day, it might just be models who are in front of the camera, but now we are more and more and more living and performing our lives online for everyone to see and view. And if you ever want to feel bad at yourself, read about yourself in the comments section. You know, there's a lot of negative comments out there, unfortunately. And then we also have these addition of these drugs like GLP-1, which no, if anyone is using them and of getting benefit, I certainly don't want to disparage people or discourage them from using that, but it still doesn't help our relationship with food. We really have to learn how to have a better relationship. It's not like alcoholism or drug addiction where we can say, I'm never going to do that again. And I have to get through today sober. We have to eat to survive. So developing a healthier relationship with it. And that doesn't mean never having a cookie or only eating brown rice. It's trying to figure out a way that it supports you as best as it can, and also while bringing joy. Because I do think that food is community. You know, whenever we sit down with someone, one of the oldest traditions is to break bread with people. So I do think that there, if you can also have some sort of connection with people and to share food with people, you can also bring back some of the enjoyment of it as well, instead of just isolating yourself.
Thank you. How do we balance comfort food with caring for our health and well-being?
I love, it's a business percentage. So anytime you hear the 80-20 rule, as long as 80% of the time you're eating healthy, nourishing foods, then I think 20% of the time you can have a cookie or you can have something that might not necessarily be that healthy, but is delicious. I think as long as you're eating as unprocessed food as possible, you will end up getting healthier and healthier. I think when we are choosing food in a box at the supermarket, we're choosing convenience and affordability, but we're certainly not going to get health. It's hard to be convenient and cheap and quick and healthy. You're going to have to give up something. So if you can eat as unprocessed food as possible, made with real ingredients that maybe our grandparents would have identified and been able to understand, we'll have a healthier and healthier body and probably planet.
Thank you. How do you elevate the love when you are eating? I'm saying, like, do you ever feel like the fact that you are in a great mood, in a kind of gratitude kind of mood, and you're seeing like the organic items that you're about to put in your food, and then you are feeling really grateful about the fact that you get to have these kind of really amazing ingredients, maybe from Italy, and then perhaps a lot of those ingredients are really awesome, and then you do get kind of infuse that your food with like pleasure and fun and love, and is that a good way to kind of elevate the frequency of your food and to feel more like you are really sharing love as you are cooking it?
Yes. So I 100% agree with you. Don't cook angry. I think our moods can also infect our food. I think our mood can affect art or what we're creating. Our mood comes with us. And there was once I read somewhere, don't ever drink the coffee of a woman who's grieving. And that's sort of the same thing, like we're infusing ourselves into this. So if you're really angry or really upset, that's a great time to be eating out or have someone else cook for you. That's the time to maybe go out and grab yourself maybe something that's not that healthy, like a pizza or something, some kind of takeout. But if you can realize that it's, even if you're not someone who is religious, you know, and you might not necessarily pray over food, they have seen the benefits of speaking kindly to plants and to water. And then they have taken that same experiment and spoke harshly to plants and water. And there is a distinct difference in the two plants and the two water glasses, for instance. You know, if we can speak nicely about our bodies, if we can speak nicely about foods, if we can bring a more positive verbal and mental space forward, we can infuse things with also the ritual of it too. If you can come into some, I love making my cup of tea in the morning. To me, there's nothing worse than a tea to go in a plastic container at a store. Like even if I have to get up 15 minutes earlier to get up, boil a cup of tea, there's something about that 5 minutes, that forced 5 minutes and drinking in a mug that makes me feel more grounded and present.
Thank you. What are some simple food rituals people can start using as self-care, even with busy lives? Like, what would people say to their food? Would they say, "I'm blessing this food that I'm about to eat with love and joy, and I pray that this food will nourish me," and this kind of thing? Or what would you say to kind of infuse the food with positive vibes?
I think being grateful, I know that's very cliche and everyone throws gratefulness around, but if you think, I'm so grateful that I have food. I'm so grateful that I have, clean food. I have nourishing food. I think when we go along the lines of, I'm lucky to sit down and have this meal. I'm lucky to have this conversation with you. I'm lucky to be talking to your listeners. If you come from a little place of like, this is a beautiful, special moment I probably won't have again. We have meals multiple times a day, but if we say, like, I'm so grateful that I have fresh oranges in December because I'm lucky to have a supermarket that's down the street from my house and we're not carting oranges, on a boat from somewhere that I don't get oranges this year or something. I'm thankful that I get to go to a supermarket, even though sometimes the supermarket's my least favorite place because I go there so often. That I don't have to grow my own food so that if the bunny rabbit ate my tomatoes, I don't have tomatoes today. Like, we live in a time where we're very lucky at everything that we have at our disposal. So if you just try to remember that every now and again, it can be helpful.
Thank you. How can someone create a positive food ritual that can impact their lives? For example, could someone create a dish that reminds them of their grandma or the way their grandma used to cook, or something that kind of brings them comfort or joy? For me, for example, I really like coffee with marshmallows, and it's mainly because it makes me feel like a spoiled girl, for just and I also like making pancakes because, again, it's something very easy for me. Like, I can put four pans at the same time and I can make like 20 pancakes in like not a very long time, and I like the fact that it just feels like such a treat.
So I love that. So yes, I do think it seems to me that many people will do more for others than they will do for themselves. And I'll give you a perfect example. I knew someone's child who had really, really, really bad eczema, and they realized that it was a food allergy. So they rearranged heaven and earth to change the way their whole family eats so that their kid is okay. And some people don't feel comfortable taking care of themselves to that level, but they're able to do it outwards first. So if you think of your spouse, your kid, your grandmother, your best friend, what's their favorite meal? Can you learn to make that for them and then share it with them? Because when you start, I notice that a lot of people have trouble taking care of themselves first. They always put others first. And it's in that spot that I really want us to turn that around. Like, I have this one video that I made where my husband has to go to a work event and I'm making my favorite meal because I get to indulge myself for that moment. So if you can think of, take your favorite meal and learn how to make it at home, or find a family member who makes your favorite food and then cook it with them. Like, my husband's grandmother made pierogies, which are Polish, like raviolis. And so we had a pierogi making party where we invited everyone over. You get the kids, everyone, and we're just in the kitchen, just turning out 80 pierogies. And not only are you learning something and you're connecting with people and you're sharing something, but you're learning a skill too. I would have never made those, learned how to make that dough without feeling it with his grandmother. We were sitting there like, this is the right texture. It's hard to get that necessarily in a book. Like, we try with the recipes in our books to make it as repeatable as possible, but there's also something to be said for sharing it in real life.
Thank you. What are some of your favorite food ingredients that find their way into your weekly plan for eating? Are there, I don't know, for example, for me, I love buffalo mozzarella, and I understand it may not be good for me, but I like every time I see it, like I mean, I could buy 20 of those and have them eaten in 3 days. And
I'm that way with French bread, like a real loaf of French bread. When we go to Canada, I'll just get cheese and bread, and that's my lunch. So, some ingredients that I really like I'm a big vegetable person. I really like vegetables. So I try to make sure that each one of my meals has a few vegetables. And so that's as simple as, like, when I make meatballs, I might throw in some seasonings, but chop up some onions really fine and some peppers really fine to make it more flavorful. I really like mirin, which is a Japanese vinegar. It's actually not a vinegar, actually, but it's, I use that in place of soy sauce a lot because I had a family member who was allergic to one of the ingredients in soy sauce. So I started using mirin, and that became something that I added to a lot of recipes. I have, I put that in a lot of different sauces. For example, I have a chicken wing recipe and I use mirin in that. And then I have a pork katsu and I use that in the Korean barbecues, even though that's not traditional. So I think vegetables, I'm probably the most guilty of sticking vegetables in everything.
Thank you. In what ways can food help us process stress, grief, or burnout?
So we all know now that our stomach is our second brain and that a healthy gut biome has diverse bugs in it, for lack of a better word. And so a healthy biome helps prevent and fortify us against stress. But there is, you know, when I'm grieving, I make pancakes. So I, when I lost my mother, I probably ate pancakes every day for a year straight. And it was actually, you know, probably not that great for my waistline, but there was something soothing and not necessarily nourishing from a healthy standpoint as much as nourishing from an emotional standpoint. So it's good to make sure that I'm not, you know, that we're balancing healthy with that. But I do think sometimes we are eating emotionally and that we have to serve that part of us too. That's why I joke, I have a cookbook. There's a lot of really great healthy recipes in it because I want healthy food to taste good. I don't want you to think you're sacrificing something because you're having to eat healthy. It tastes good and it just happens to be healthy. But I do have a cheesecake recipe in there. I do have a couple of cookie recipes because I don't think there's anything better for the soul than a cookie, a really good cookie.
Thank you. What's the difference between emotional eating and healing through food?
I think when we use eating as our emotional balance, we can actually do the opposite. Because sometimes we can feed that part of us with chips or, you know, ice cream or something that is not necessarily that healthy. Where if you come from the perspective that if I eat well, I will become more emotionally balanced because we know that, you know, the mitochondria, the basic, you know, cells, everything is built on mitochondria and those need energy. And they, the only way we get energy from the sun, sort of the way plants do through the hormone of vitamin D, but we need to really fuel ourselves. Like we wouldn't put Bud Light in a car and expect it to run. You know, we can't just fill our, you know, gas tank with chips and expect to feel good at the end of the day.
That's so funny. How can people rebuild a healthier relationship with food if it's been complicated in the past?
So if I think the first thing is to probably acknowledge that you have some kind of relationship. And then where did that stem from? Were you really lonely? So food like felt like a friend? Or I think identifying those underlying feelings, because I know when I can get really emotional and I could feed that emotion by feeding this, right? It's almost like it squelches down what really needs to be said or whatever feeling is really there. And I knew that I would ask myself, am I really hungry or am I just stressed? Am I really hungry or am I just bored? Am I really hungry or do I feel sad? Because I like being happy and sharing food with other people, that's a good emotion to share food with. But if I'm substituting any of these lower vibration foods, feelings with food, then I'm probably not doing myself any justice.
Thank you. What are some good nutrients that people should consider inserting into their diet so that they feel more energized, so that the food would feel like an energy source that kind of helps them continue throughout the day. And because, for example, there are certain foods that I have noticed make me more pumped, but they are bad for me. Like if I drink Fanta or Coca-Cola, I mean, I will be pumped and I feel like, oh my God, I'm so full of ideas and I'm like this bunny, you know? But I know that at the end of the day, I'm going to be like feeling like I'm fully burnt out. And then I don't think another Coke is going to solve that. You know, I will be needing a lot of something else to kind of help me pump back up. So what would you
say? Yeah, so I hear sugar and caffeine, which I joke that there is everyone's heard of this study. They take cocaine and they give it to mice. And then they give mice sugar water. And mice choose sugar water over cocaine 99% of the time. So sugar is our cocaine. And it makes us feel amazing because our cells obviously run on glucose. So of course, we just have too much of it. So I think everyone talks about protein. Absolutely, more protein. You're not having enough protein. Did you get your protein today? But I think what we're all missing, and we would be so much healthier, is fiber. If we were eating fiber, not drinking Metamucil or one of those, although if you need additional fiber, those are helpful every once in a while. But fiber, both soluble and insoluble, come from vegetables and plants for the most part. And so more fiber will make you healthier by default. It feeds the microbiome so that you are having more diverse, like rainforest in there. You don't just have pine trees everywhere, which are crowding out everything else. You have a whole beautiful landscape where everything can flourish. So if I could give everyone a piece of advice, if you only worry about one macro, worry about your fiber. Make sure you're getting at least 30 grams. And if you're a man, like a woman, probably 30 grams, and a man, probably 35 grams.
Thank you. Tell us what sources of fiber would you recommend?
So chia seeds have great omega-3, which we are very, at least in the United States, we are very low in our omega-3s. We have high omega-6s. So I would recommend chia seeds. And I don't like chia seeds because they're like hard, crunchy things, but I like them soaked. So I soak them in a milk. You can soak them in dairy if you drink dairy or a soy milk. And I put a little bit of vanilla. And then the seeds stop becoming so hard and they plump up and they get a really nice texture. And I do a chia seed pudding with some fruit in the morning, or if I'm making a smoothie, I'll add that in so that I have, you know, I'm taking something. Fruit has fiber, but it doesn't have like a lot of staying power for fueling me over a long period of time. But when I add that, it seems to help that.
Thank you. If someone wants to start using food as self-care today, what's the first small step they should take?
Make more food at home. Harvo, if you're like, oh, well, my week is crazy and I don't get home till 8 o'clock at night, make a couple of meals that last, or, you know, prep your food in advance so that you just have to pull it out. And then it becomes that much easier than just having takeout or a microwaved meal. I would say a little bit of food prep and planning goes a long way.
Thank you. What's one mindset shift that could completely change how people approach cooking or eating?
That's a really good question. If your life depended on you, if the quality of your life depended on adopting a cooking practice, would you undertake it? So, and the truth is, the quality of our life does depend on it, because how healthy our body is depends on whether we can even go to work, whether we're happy and healthy enough to be able to travel, to explore and maybe, you know, exercise, or, you know, be there for our children. I think we only have this one body. It is a biological body. It needs to be maintained. You wouldn't expect your car to run without oil changes, you know, but we expect our body to run without its proper nutrition. So I think that would probably be it. You know, would you do this if your life depended on it? And the answer is yes, of course we would. Of course we would do this.
Thank you. What do you hope readers will feel when they read My Love Language is Food?
I hope they feel anticipation that they're going to have some really delicious food. Because I think that I had to photograph the food twice for the book. The first time the photographs weren't to my liking, and I knew that I used cookbooks in my cupboards, the pictures, almost the way someone might use pornography, where like you're trying to warm yourself up to the idea. Like when you go to a menu at a restaurant and they just have line items, or if they go and have pictures, it's like two different experiences. So what I want people to do is anticipate having a really good meal and then feeling really happy and satisfied.
Thank you. What message about food and life do you want most people to take away from your work?
That everything resides in us. We don't need anything from the outside. Everything we have, everything we need, we have inside of us. It's just a matter of exploring it and turning it on.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs and people worldwide can connect with you.
So I have a weekly radio show called Lisa and Robin on the Mic. So people can follow us on YouTube and Spotify there. And then my cookbook is going to be found everywhere cookbooks are found. So Amazon, if you have access to Amazon or your local bookstore. And then my website is starsatnightpublishing.com, and the cookbook will be available there as well.
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health change makers to live your healthiest life ever.